Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Fakes the throw. Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Chris Brown on the call to play the game. Josh Allen's touchdown run. Bills move to 9-2 with a win at the stadium over Kansas City. We have news and a bit of an announcement to make. Turkey for Tickets is back Wednesday. That's this Wednesday, yeah. From 7 to 9 a.m., you can donate a turkey and get tickets. Turkey for Tickets drive will benefit the Buffalo City Mission and feed more of Western New York. All the details are from the Buffalo Sabres that a couple different spots you can drop off those turkeys. You've got surface lots at KeyBank Center, Perry and Baltimore Streets. Tops Friendly Markets in Orchard Park. Tops Friendly Markets in Tonawanda. Donate a frozen 20-pound turkey to receive two tickets to an upcoming Sabres game. Tickets are limited to one pair per person while quantities last. So, again,
all right. Wednesday the 20th from 7 to 9.
Yep.
This Wednesday.
Yep.
Sweet. Sure, it could be bigger than 20 pounds, too.
Sure, yeah. 20 pounds.
If it's 22 pounds, they're not going to get you on that.
Right. 20 pounds. Yeah. To get two tickets, and the Sabres will play this week out west. Right?
We're going to need some JJ the Turkey t-shirts,
yeah,
or something. We got to play into that a little bit.
Jeremy and Joe with you on WGR. Your takeaways from the Bills win over the Chiefs. Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing. Bill Cowher going through a table. I mean, everything.
Everything.
Every party yesterday was awesome.
The weather, start to finish, like Bill's Mafia, like the star of the show. And Allen doing Allen things. You know, it's one of those spots where we just watch greatness. Great. He's an all-time great NFL player, all-time great at his position. It's incredible. And what are the Chiefs saying today?
The Chiefs are saying,
Doesn't matter.
This has happened 3 years in a row.
That's right.
What do we care?
That's right.
What they're saying. They're doing the Kelsey golf clap. They're saying that's the Bills. They're dangerous. They're good. And we'll see in January when it really matters.
But if you watch this game yesterday, mm-hmm, as a Chiefs fan, are you thinking, oh, we'll just beat them in the playoffs because that's what happens?
Yeah.
I mean, one of those wins is a coin toss.
Yeah.
The other one, the Bills miss a field goal at the end. It's not like when the Steelers play Lamar. When the Steelers play Lamar, he doesn't do anything.
Right.
They have the answer for him.
Yeah.
Have the Chiefs ever shown they have the answer for Josh Allen? The answer to that is no.
No. But they are believing, because this is kind of what's happened, that in the regular season, in fact, every regular season meeting, Allen has made... He's had a moment at the end of the game. Like, he's made a clutch play, jumping over a Chief, throwing under 2 minutes to go, throwing a game-winning touchdown to Dawson Knox yesterday, running for a 26-yard touchdown. A Chiefs fan thinks, in the playoffs, our guy makes that play.
Yeah,
our guy makes one more of those plays at the end of the game.
Is that sound logic for them? It's almost a little bit like you're playing roulette and red has come up six times, and you're like, oh, red will come up again.
Well, right.
Come back, look at it. It's just been red.
Right. The Allen part of that is different. In the four-game winning streak in the regular season the Bills have over the Chiefs, Mahomes has 8 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Like, he is pedestrian. He is a pedestrian quarterback for 4 years in a row when he plays the Bills in the regular season. And then he goes to the playoffs, and he has a perfect quarterback rating and averages like 10 yards an attempt. So a Chiefs fan looks at that game yesterday and says, yeah, you're not getting that Mahomes in the playoffs. You're not getting 190 yards and 2 picks in the playoffs from him. That's I think, what they're thinking.
Maybe. 803-0550. Let's get to Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Mo.
Always good to call on a Victory Monday, especially after beating the Chiefs. And, you know, a lot of sleep I heard all week. A lot of people downplaying the importance of this game. I just didn't understand it. Like, this game, even from a mental standpoint, is really important for us to win. Puts us back in the conversation for the one seed. A lot of football to play. But what I wanted to call and talk about is I've been one of the biggest McDermott critics over the last 3-4 years. I called earlier in the season when they beat Miami, give him his roses. That job they did yesterday, that was the coaching staff in total, obviously missed touch with McDermott, was nothing short of magnificent, right? Offense, we're missing a bunch of key pieces. Doesn't matter. We still put up 30 points on probably one of the stingiest defenses we've seen over the past 2 years. And then on top of that, the job the defense did was incredible. All season, we've talked about how horrible this run defense has been. I don't think they ran for 80 yards in this game. At no point in time did I feel like they're going to run all over us. And the job they did on Mahomes, second play from scrimmage, interception, last play from scrimmage, interception, the defense was all over the place. And the, you know, the last thing I want to say is I really hope we really lock up Shakir and Benford. Those two guys have been nothing short of phenomenal for us. That pass interference that they called on Benford, I thought it was a bit ticky-tack. And he's just been everywhere he goes, you know, the ball just doesn't follow. And if the ball does come, it's going to be incomplete. And I just love these two guys. I really hope they lock them up. Bernard, too, you could put him in that conversation as well. But these are our guys. And the job the coaching staff did yesterday, amazing.
Yeah, thanks, Mo.
Benford, totally agree.
Benford, number one priority.
I, yesterday being up in the booth, got a chance to watch, like, just on a couple plays, just watch Benford. And a couple times, he is just kind of ISO'd on DeAndre Hopkins, and Hopkins doesn't get any separation. Nothing. And I know Hopkins is older at this point, but he's still pretty good. And even on the play that they challenged, that was definitely a catch, it was a bad challenge. Even that play, look what Hopkins needs to do against Benford to get 5 yards. Benford is right there. He needs to make a one-handed toe-tapping catch. Benford almost knocks the ball out when it comes out at the sidelines. He had a deep ball that he broke up a little bit later on. Benford is a number one corner in the NFL. Like, there's no doubt about it. He is, like, even Rasul Douglas is a great player. I think Christian Benford is this team's number one corner, and he is the number one corner on most teams in the NFL. Like, I think he's getting to that type of territory. So, super impressed. And listen, if I'm not understanding the conversation leading into the week, I get it. Like, I think there's really only one element where this game didn't have meaning when you look at it, or didn't have as much meaning. I think of the 8 Bills-Chiefs meetings in the last 5 years, did this rank 8th? Okay, sure. It had less juice than all the other ones. It had less meaning to their actual story between the two teams. But it didn't mean it had no meaning, because it did mean the one seed is still in play, and they're half a game back, and I'm very much believing that the Chiefs could drop another game somewhere along the way here. They've got a tough division all of a sudden. You know? The Broncos look good. They have to play them again, I think. They have to play the Chargers again. The Chargers look great. Like, they can drop another game, and if the Bills can beat the Chiefs and the Niners are stumbling around here, they're in dead last in their division. I don't know that I can't beat them at home. Detroit's like the one game left that it's like, man, that's going to be real tough. But the meaning of that game is the one seed. You have something to play for down the stretch of this season. If they had lost that game yesterday, one, you're going into the bye week, and we have to sit with that for 13 days, right?
Yeah.
And two, just I don't know what you'd be playing for. So, that in that way, it is important they won that game yesterday.
803-0550.
Sure.
The one thing I'll say is about, like, we're making a lot of points about health, and that's where, you know, what are Chiefs fans saying? Last year it was the Bills who were injured. You didn't have Terrell Bernard. You couldn't stop them because of injuries. So, I'm a little bit, I want to almost, like, knock on wood. All this, this guy's coming back, and this guy's coming back, and we'll have this guy, and this guy, and this guy. Mm-hmm. Injuries are not a one-way street. I mean, somebody else will go out, too.
Mm-hmm.
For about 10 seconds, I was terrified that Deion Dawkins was going to go out. That would be a,
yeah,
like, I don't want to say death blow, but, you know, come on. Super important. So, you know, injury luck matters. 803-0550, more of your calls as we roll through. Chris Brown coming up at 8:30. It's a Victory Monday on WGR.
Handoff goes to Cook. Coming around the right side, looking for the pylon. And he's in. James Cook with a 3-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen. And once again, the Bills cash in on a takeaway.
League has stars, and he's one of them, you know what I mean? He's just a tremendous talent, very skilled guy. You know, some guys are just made to play ball in the position that they play, and he's definitely one of those guys. So it's been very fun to watch. I've been having a lot of joy since I've been here. I mean, we won every game, so it's been cool, man.
I mean, that's Kamari Cooper right there. I've been having a lot of joy since I've been here. You know, it's so funny. Here's a guy that comes in, and he was with the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Browns. Did a little bit of winning with the Cowboys, but to keep winning like this and to play with a quarterback like that, I mean, you know, he's feeling it. And I think that's a great testament and great insight into what we talked about a little bit earlier, the culture that's been built here, and you know, how people feel about their football team, even inside, you know, their own locker room. 803-0550. Really good stuff there from Amari Cooper after the game, who, by the way, you wouldn't know if he won or lost the way the guy sounds. He's always the same, which is great. He's just kind of always very level the way that way he speaks and sounds. Let's go to Dennis in Buffalo. Hi, Dennis. You're on WGR.
Hi, Phil. I got to give you a compliment. You are the most astute analyzer of pro football play-by-plays that you talk about. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, taken a piece of beef and chopped it to make a Salisbury steak. So what Josh Allen did in that run, that he, like in every year in Barcelona, Spain, they had the run of the bulls. Well, Josh Allen did a bull run, and when he turned his body and hit the goal line, he twisted and pounded the Kansas City Steer, their defensive back, to the ground. I got to give Josh Allen a credit on the bull run. That was a Salisbury steak bull run spoken to you for the first time ever. Everybody calls you on air a Salisbury steak analyst and pro football astute play-by-play man after the fact.
All right. Well, I'll take it, Dennis. Thank you very much. Josh Allen, the bull run. I mean, they aren't the Bulls. That's the college team here. Bowl-eligible Bulls, by the way. But it was a pretty darn amazing run by Josh Allen. And he did run over a guy into the end zone. So, good call. Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words, by the way. Really do. Nick in Hamburg. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Sal. Love the show.
Thank you.
We had a great day yesterday. It was awesome. But then, you know, as I'm driving, I'm listening to not only your shows, but also flipping through some of the national pundit shows. And I got to say, I've been kind of annoyed this morning that, like, a lot of them are taking the stance of, you know, well, this doesn't mean anything. You know, like, it doesn't matter, really, because what matters is the playoffs in January. And in my mind, I'm like, well, it does mean something, and it matters something. Don't dismiss it the day after it happens, not even 24 hours later. It just sounds like, again, a little aggravated that the national pundits just seem to keep on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that as much as I've seen it from, like, Kansas City fans who are obviously upset that they lost, so they want to just point to, well, we have Super Bowls and you don't, and this didn't matter to us because all that matters is Super Bowls. Okay, whatever. I mean, I guess if it didn't matter, why did Patrick Mahomes play every snap? Right. I
mean, right.
Right. I mean, if the game, that's the retort today. If any Chiefs fan or anybody says to you, well, the game wasn't important to Kansas City, say, then why did Patrick Mahomes play every single snap? They could have sat him if it wasn't important. They want to win. That's why it's important, because it's a game.
Right. Absolutely. And one final point, just like before the game happened, it was, oh, this is the biggest game of the year. This is this and that. And then so just to hear the other side of it, not even 24 hours later,
yeah.
You're 100% right.
It doesn't, no, Nick, thank you on this. And I'll say this. Look, it doesn't have to be either or, everybody, okay? Let's have some nuance we'll bring to this. Does Dr. Sal here, Uncle Sal, whatever you want to call me here on a Monday sometimes to help you out, do I have to kind of get that emotion back in check? Either way, it doesn't have to be one swing either way. Let's have a little nuance here and say this, okay? We go back to what I said earlier. Being a fan a sports fan is about riding the emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that when your team wins or when your team loses. Now, if you're letting it impact your personal life to a really unhealthy degree, not good. Okay, don't do that. But you should be very happy when your team wins, and you should be upset to a degree when your team loses, depending on situation and each side. Okay? This game particularly, why would you, what do you expect? Do you expect Bills fans not to be happy? Of course. And I would expect Chiefs fans to go, ah, that sucks that the undefeated season's gone. But you know what? On to the next game. Just like Bills fans are. That's great. And you should say, on to the next game. There's a little nuance in here. And what I want to mean by that is, of course Bills fans are going to be happy. Of course they should be celebrating. They just beat the Super Bowl champions, ruined their undefeated season in their house in a fantastic football game. They also know they didn't win the Super Bowl. It's okay. And they have a week to enjoy it and then get back to work. And then you have, what, five more games and the playoffs start. So, yeah. I just, I don't know. I've seen that this morning. The funniest one is the Chiefs fan, and you can find it on my Twitter feed, by the way. The Chiefs fan who tweeted something about, we don't celebrate regular season wins. And then Alex Brasky of Batavia Daily, Batavia News, I'm sorry if I get that wrong, but Alex, who's come on the show before, he had a great tweet where he showed the video of the Chiefs literally celebrating and Patrick Mahomes running around crazy after they blocked the field goal against the Broncos last week. We don't celebrate regular season wins. Oh, yeah? And by the way, they should. Why not? I don't care who you're a fan of. You win a game, man. You work hard to win a game when you're a player and a coach. And your team, you're invested every week on a Sunday or Monday or Thursday. That's what being a sports fan is all about. And calling this show, too, afterwards. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal. You do a great job on the sidelines. You really do.
Thank you, buddy. No, I'm good, man. I'm good. My voice is good. I guess I'm a little raspy today, but I'm good.
Well, you got a little hoarse towards the end.
Yeah, that happens. You know what it is sometimes? Yeah, I got to talk over the crowd. And I try to, and then I know, you try to do that. But you know what? I'd rather have it that way than being quiet because it's not exciting, right?
You know what? I'm just really happy. You know what? We're all happy where the Bills are at. You just go back when they lost them two games this year. We were all devastated. I mean, but you know what? We just beat the two-time in a row Super Bowl champion. The team that has been the best team in the football for the past 5 or 6 years. We have a quarterback who is a beast out there, which we all know. And you know what? Everybody says, well, I don't know what they can do. Josh Allen had to put the team on his shoulders. That's why we drafted him. Brandon Bean even said, you're going to love this kid. That's why he gets $40 million a year. He's worth it. Those other guys are getting $65 million. He's worth $80 million a year. He is a steal for what he signed for, and he truly loves Buffalo. But you know what? Look at these draft picks. Christian Benford, he's one of the best corners in the game. What was he, a fifth-round draft pick? Terrell Bernard, what a linebacker. We weathered the storm without him and Milano out there. Now, if you get Milano back and he can be healthy, do you know where this defense is going to go? We have a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl again, Sal. And you know what? Sit back and just enjoy Sean McDermott as a head coach. Everybody wanted to fire him last week. He makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. It happens out there. He didn't go for it in fourth down. He kicked the field goal. Well, you know what? That's just the way the NFL is. It's tough to win in the NFL. And you know what? Be happy. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are the best thing to come into Buffalo in the last 20 years, the job they've done here. Yes, maybe they got lucky that Josh Allen turned out where he is, but don't bash him. Don't say he should be fired. Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia and was nothing until he got Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he was a great coach, but he didn't win Super Bowls. Bill Belichick was a coach for 20 years till Tom Brady come along and won him Super Bowls. So just sit back and give him a chance. Our problem is we've ran into Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Just sit back and enjoy the ride, guys. I go back to the four Super Bowls. It's a great ride. It's fun to be a Bills fan. When the Bills win, everything is happy because this city lives off the Buffalo Bills. Hey, thanks for the job you guys do. Thanks for letting me talk. Thanks for letting us vent here every Tuesday. Love your show, Sal. Love you, Sal.
You got it, Mark. Thank you. It's Monday, by the way. It's a victory Monday, not Tuesday, but that's okay. You're on a roll, and I'm not going to stop you, brother. It can be Tuesday if you want it to. Christian Benford was a sixth-round pick. Taron Johnson, a fifth-round pick. A lot of guys stepping up. Speaking of guys stepping up, when we come back, I'm going to take a timeout, come back, get to a lot of your phone calls. If you're on, I'll get to you, I promise. When we come back, I'm going to get you the Barnes Firm injury report, and I'm going to tell you, something additional to that that's going to make you feel really good when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show.
Bulldog, you were right.
What's that now?
You were right. This business of thinking I can find what I need in this notebook by starting to write on the backs of pages.
Horrible idea.
Is not helping me. No. I'm looking for that stat about their record. 70. Would it be 57-20? Last 77 regular season games. That sound right?
You're really looking for me. You're looking for me to have that committed to memory week over week here.
I'm asking you what page it's on.
I had you last week. I don't know now. Okay. 57-20 sounds right. I think it was 55-20 the first time you brought it up, and I think there have been two games since.
Okay. Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Hi, Sean.
On the heels of that.
How we doing, guys?
Good. You don't know where this is in my notebook, do you? I don't think you would know that. Great win yesterday. How did you feel about this game through the week, like even into yesterday morning? Were you pretty confident?
Oh, yeah. Very confident in our football team. Very confident. You know, I knew it was going to be a great environment. I knew, you know, it was going to come down. We felt like it was going to come down like it always has to the fourth quarter, some part of the fourth quarter. And our team played extremely well when the game was on the line.
The game being on the line with 4th and 2 at the 26-yard line, maybe as definitive a moment where the game is on the line. I mean, you had a lead at least, but take me through the thought process there, Sean, because there's obviously an opportunity for a field goal that leaves you not getting beat by a field goal in turn, but leaves you susceptible to a touchdown. And I think a lot of fans were really impressed that you decided to keep the offense on the field and go for it there, and obviously you got paid off.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think we've been, you know, in my history here, rather aggressive overall, and just felt like, you know, with the data that we had, you know, during the week and had mapped it out, if we were in a situation like that, that we would want to go for it and stay on the gas right there. And it turned out that's a situation that came up for us, and it worked out. Josh made a great play, and heck, we were just looking for the first down, and he takes it to the house, and place goes crazy. I mean, what a great environment last night. The fans are incredible. I had a guy today tell me he was 3 miles away, tailgating 3 miles away outside, and could hear the fans from where he was. So just an incredible environment.
That's awesome. As that play is unfolding, are you like a basketball coach who's about to watch a guy launch a three-pointer that you didn't want him to shoot? Or like, what is your reaction to, like, because that play ended up, I don't know what the design was supposed to be, but it ended up just being one of these plays where Allen just goes, okay, I got it. I know a lot of coaches, I'm not saying this, I don't know you well enough even after all these years to know this about you definitively, but you like to control things, right? You like things to go as scripted as you practice them. Is that play just organized chaos once the ball is snapped?
Well, you know, we were thinking there potentially in man-to-man coverage there, which is, you know, it's 4th and 2, you're expecting tight coverage. They passed some things off and potentially what was a zone defense. Josh took it, you know, under his own power to go to flee the pocket and go. And the thing I love about it is he was decisive. He knew what they were giving us coverage-wise, and he took off with it. And then the rest of it after he, you know, made it past the line there was really his own willpower and his own desire and competitive nature. I mean, it was, you know, unreal to watch, almost like slow motion as I was watching it once he got past the first down marker. Just incredible effort.
Sean, you know, this I think you might know from our years when we've spoken, like fourth down is certainly for me, like a big cause almost. Like I love the fourth down stuff. I can't catch or throw or tackle, but I love the strategy. And I think you're right when you say like you've been on sort of the plus side of that, you know, in terms of over the years, how often you've gone for it. I just don't feel like I know hardly anything about your process when it comes to that, if you allow me to use that word. Can you tell us anything that goes into how that decision gets made, you know, the communication, you and upstairs, that we don't know? Because I think maybe teams are pretty guarded when it comes to this, like just how it gets decided, what goes into it. But maybe there's something you would share that would be new to us.
Yeah, sure. I've got nothing to hide here, Shrove. I'll tell you how we do it during the week and kind of the short version, and then I'll tell you during the game. And during the week, you know, we match up the matchup overall, you know, one team versus the other, and, you know, is the offense that we're going to face in a big, you know, high-scoring offense, which could make it a possession game as opposed to a field position game, where you're looking at, hey, we're going to have to outscore this team and so on and so forth. And so I think that's our first step in the week of our process. And then we'll have multiple meetings, myself, our coordinators, and some of the staff that we have in the press box, my analytics guy as well, Dennis Locke, and Mark Lubick, who helps manage our game from the coaching staff standpoint, John Perry, the retired referee that we added this season as well. So we'll have kind of a couple different powwows during the week, and some of those meetings get, you know, skinny down to just a few of us, and then ultimately we get into the game and we'll talk about the first drive and how we want that first drive to look. And sometimes fourth downs come up in that first drive, sometimes they don't. And then you read the game from there based on, hey, is the game, you know, turning out to be a field position game or a possession game? Last night, you know, kind of a little bit different for Bills Chiefs games was at some point becoming a little bit of a field position game. We went for the fourth down earlier in the game, and at that point, still the game hadn't really declared. We felt like it was a possession game at that point. But somewhere in the fourth quarter, I think we were 16-14 at some point there. And at that point, you know, it was declaring a little bit more as a field position game. So just trying to stay on top of the pulse. And when that situation was coming up, Dennis Locke, our assistant up top in the booth, and myself were talking and saying, hey, this is what we talked about during the week and being aggressive. And, you know, there's just enough data with good teams, with good quarterbacks, good coaches like Andy and Patrick Mahomes that you're saying, hey, want to stay on the gas, don't want to give him another shot here. And the downside of it is the risk taking is the risk that you take of saying, hey, you could turn around, they get X amount of yards and a field goal beat you, right, to walk off the game. So that's the inherent risk, and that's the risk I had to take.
Really good. Thank you. I really appreciate your going in on that. You also got a timeout before the play last night, before the Allen touchdown, which maybe that was sort of a blessing. The Chiefs need to stop the clock. You had 2.5 minutes there to get a little bit more time to hash that out.
Well, yes, and probably more so for Joe Brady, our offensive coordinator, because we were going to go for it either way. We were going to go for it. I think we had a third and two. We didn't get anything there. May have even gone for it on a fourth and three situation. So we were on green, I'll call it, the whole way. And you know, look, there's also a different type of mindset you got to have if you want to be great, right? You got to, in order to win games. And you know, whether it's, you know, trotting T-Bass out there for a 60-some-yard field goal or this situation, it's you know, every situation is a little bit different, but you got to think that way before you actually get there, right? So just fired up that we were able to execute, thankful for it, and certainly led to the win.
You've had your share of Travis Kelce having very good to great days against you. Yesterday, very modest. Was there any, recognizing, you know, you're not going to give us the sauce recipe on the air here, but did you change anything tactically to try to take him away? We just talked to Eric Wood last hour, and he just mentioned the pass rush maybe affecting Mahomes more, and maybe that had the biggest impact more so than anything you were doing in the middle of the field.
Right, I think, Bulldog, the awareness piece, I thought the coaches did a great job on the defensive side with just building awareness as to where Kelce was in the formation. You know, to some extent, sometimes you get on the goal line and they get into these kind of muddled up formations and they hide their best tight end. Well, you're always wanting to identify where the pass-catching tight end is. And in this case, that was in the middle of the field for us with Kelce, and making sure every formation our guys knew where he was, and were able to try and get some hands on him as well to friction some of his releases and whatnot. So, and then, like you mentioned, and Eric probably mentioned, like you said, the pass rush helped out, right? When that rush and coverage can work together, it certainly, you know, allows the ball or helps the ball come out a little quicker than sometimes they want it to.
Eric wanted us to ask you about how many days off you give the players, because I think he's still a little bitter that you guys only got four. He only got four when he played for you.
That bye week was in week six, by the way, I looked. And so it's much later. I don't know like what your plans are here. But, yeah, he was prepared to be upset if you give them more than 4 days off, I think.
You can tell them I'm giving them just about after today they're going to have the rest of the week off, which is other than maybe when Eric was here that first year or two, which is how we've done it since. And it's worked for us, you know. But we'll be practicing back, practicing hard when they come back, and we'd love to see you guys come down and join us. Come down and visit. I know I offered you guys the invitation, I think back in training camp.
You did.
But it remains open if you'd like.
What should we expect to be able to see?
Well, hopefully we're practicing like a pro football team.
Well, okay. I don't. Sal gets like 10 minutes or something. I don't know.
No, it's you get a few minutes, but no, you guys are always welcome to come down and visit and see how we do things.
I enjoyed seeing you on Saturday, by the way.
I did too. That was a pleasant surprise. Canisius against Tymon in a great football game on a Saturday afternoon. Pretty cool environment down there. I was enjoying myself.
Do you get to many high school games? I think that would probably be a pretty cool thing for an NFL head coach, but you might not have, you know, as much time as you'd want.
No, I absolutely love going to high school football, Shope. I really do. It's whether it's Orchard Park, I've had a chance to watch some of their games, or you name it. Obviously, the Canisius game this past weekend, and there's nothing to me better than going to a raw high school football game where it's true football, and these kids are, you know, they work so hard to get out there and play, and you're watching them give their all, and it's just what a great environment.
Does it maybe take you back to when you played?
Of course. I think it does for all of us, right? When you're out there, whether it's football, all the different sports, and you're just seeing the students out there cheering for their buddies, and parents out there cheering for their sons in this case, and then as it relates to Tymon and Canisius, you know, just the amount of, to me, community and around the game and sense of school pride that I saw Saturday afternoon there.
Nice to hear. Very good. Thank you, Sean. Any questions for us?
All good. Come see us sometime, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good break.
Sure thing. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Take care, guys.
Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. Canisius Joe's Saturday.
No, oh boy.
St. Joe's beat St. Francis in overtime. So
that's a biggie.
You might have to go to that one, too.
Yeah.
I was just trying to stay warm.
On Saturday?
Yeah. I that thing with the one cloud, again, like it's just, if there's 50, sounds good, one cloud, and I'm freezing. I did not wear a coat. Why?
You're an idiot.
That's right. That's the answer. Why else would I not have worn
with
a coat?
This notebook, you don't know how to dress yourself. I don't even know what to do with you anymore.
57-20 is right since week one of 2020.
Good.
We will look for your calls again after the update. 803-0550, Bills 31, Chiefs 20, 9-2, now the bye week. Football Monday, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey, reminder, Turkey for Tickets underway. Somebody send us a picture from one of these lots. Let's see these lines. People donating turkeys. The equivalent of a 20-pound frozen turkey will get you a voucher to an upcoming Sabres home game. Turkey for Tickets, in partnership with Odyssey and Topps Friendly Markets, the annual Tickets for Turkeys drive. It's benefiting the Buffalo City Mission in Feedmore, Western New York. Three locations, KeyBank Center Surface Lot and Topps Orchard Park, or Topps in West Seneca, to make a donation. So thanks in advance, and, you know, grab your turkey.
Topps Tonawanda or Topps West Seneca.
Sorry, Topps Tonawanda, Topps...
That West Seneca, I that's right around where I used to live. It's like right on the border of West Seneca and Orchard Park.
Right. It's on...
So you probably will know.
It's Orchard Park Road.
Orchard Park Road.
That's what it is. Yeah. Topps Orchard Park Road, West Seneca, or Topps and Tonawanda. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, for our weekly chat. Joe, good morning. Are you thinking, and how often do you think about the Super Bowl when it comes to the Buffalo Bills?
Always.
Good. Always. I like the answer.
You got a quarterback like Josh Allen, and some of the success that they've had, obviously, with a franchise that's never won a Super Bowl. Yeah, it's heavy on the mind because you feel like you have an opportunity to do it. And you feel that urgency to get it done.
How much, let me ask you this, Joe, as we get into like bye week stuff and self-scouting and, you know, we've got a Chiefs game to look back on and an MVP kind of performance. How much, what of these first 11 games has maybe elevated what you think about the franchise? What are the things that have popped up that are going well enough to move it past anytime you have Josh Allen, you have a chance to, you know, you should be thinking about this as a year just like these last however many years where they should be considered one of the top three, four contenders?
Yeah, I think the world confused the Bills transitioning away from some aging players with a rebuild. And boy, that just wasn't the case. I think what's really popped for me and kind of the way you framed that question about what gives me confidence in the franchise is that, you know, this is year eight of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. And within that, you have systems and processes in place for developing talent. And yeah, the Bills said goodbye to Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and Trey White and Jordan Poyer, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not like they didn't have answers waiting in the wings and different options, players that were developing and a new wave of what the nucleus is going to be. And, you know, the rest of the world just didn't know who Christian Benford and Khalil Shakir and Terrell Bernard and Greg Rousseau and Spencer Brown. They don't know these players. And I think the world just had to be reintroduced to the Buffalo Bills in year eight and with some transition with some new faces. But I think what's been revealed through that is that these players are ready to become the impact playmakers, to be the stars of the team. And then you just see the developing depth and, you know, you Ryan Vandermark steps in after a year and a half on the team and is able to be sufficient. Cam Lewis being able to step in, Jamarcus Ingram being able to step in. Don't forget about that Miami game and his two interceptions.
Yeah.
Dar Hamlin, year four. Okay, go ahead. It's your turn. Baylen Spector giving this team quality minutes off the bench. So I think it's been a great revelation of all of the player development that's been happening, manifesting itself right now to allow this team to be in a really good spot here coming into the bye.
I want to add another name there and ask you how they used him this week, because I'm reading a lot about Dorian Williams and the role that he had in this specific game as the Bills dialed up their pressures and spied Mahomes at the same time and got a pressure rate on him he hadn't seen in an NFL game since 2021, I believe.
Yeah, I think the Bills had a good plan. Bobby Babich, heck of a job in his first opportunity to go up against Mahomes and Andy Reid. Yeah, of course, they did a really good job with their cage rush, which, you know, you can't rush Patrick Mahomes like you do Joe Flacco, right? Really different players. So you have to have a very coordinated rush that everyone's disciplined with their rush lanes. But what they did was they kind of had a mirror spy over top of it, which not only gives you some margin for error with your cage rush, but also gives you someone to account for Patrick Mahomes. And he likes to find those escape outlets and find that space and get his feet set and work his weird arm angles and use his instincts and playmaking ability to make plays. And between the cage rush and the spy element, kind of a mirror spy with Williams and sometimes Bernard, I thought that was really effective. Meanwhile, they're mixing in more man coverage. They mixed in more cover one than they've ran all season long in this game. So had some new looks for them, and I think the plan and the execution was really good against Mahomes.
Would you explain that, what you said about more cover one and whatnot, as a big reason why Kelce had his least productive game against the Bills ever?
Well, generally speaking, cover one is middle-of-the-field close coverage, right? So that's effective for moving Patrick Mahomes' eyes away from that. But really, I think that's true. I think there was some high-low bracketing with Terrell Bernard and the deep safety, but I think Terrell Bernard in general keyed in on Kelce quite a bit and was able to take him off the menu. But it's like that coupled with a really unique player in Travis Kelce that doesn't really run routes. He just finds space and makes himself available, and he's got good chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is good at finding additional space to allow him to get the ball to Travis Kelce. Like, they just took all of that away. And I think that's why you saw Kelce have two catches for 8 yards.
Really strong defensive performance for the Bills. Offensively, I saw you tweet the splits. Josh Allen against the blitz in this game and how well he performed when the Chiefs would dial something up.
Yeah, really good job with that. Obviously, the Chiefs are a very aggressive blitz team. I think top three in the league. That didn't change against Buffalo. They are who they are. And I thought the Bills, Josh Allen, of course, but like the Bills offense in general handled it extremely well. And really took advantage of some man coverage opportunities. And Nazi Johnson, who's was a 2022 seventh round pick out of Marshall, he was the other starter outside corner opposite of Trent McDuffie. And boy, they put a lot on him, asking him to go one-on-one down the field with Cooper. And Josh Allen said, thank you very much, and took advantage of that a couple of times. The Curtis Samuel touchdown reception was against Nazi Johnson. So it was understanding when those blitzes were coming, understanding what your best matchups were, and going after it. And the Bills had a lot of success, and really uncommon success based on how the rest of the league has really kind of crumbled against the KC blitz.
On that fourth down that Allen runs in from 26 yards out, we've heard from him. We've heard a lot of they were showing man. They ended up being in zone. How much more impressive is it that Allen was able to get that run off when it is against zone? Because I know we hear a lot about how when it's man coverage, that's when it's easier for a quarterback to take off.
Yeah, I think there's something unique about that call against zone. The Bills love to run mesh concepts, which basically just means you got a bunch of crossing routes that kind of mesh, right? They meet at some point. You kind of get some natural rubs, and guys get free. The Bills run it all the time. It's baked into so many different plays that they run. And it's great against man because you have you force them to carry, and they get all twisted up, and guys come free. Well, what you have here is a good man beater, but the reason it's effective against zone in terms of Josh Allen being able to scramble is you've got four different players that are working mesh, and that means eyes aren't necessarily on the backfield. They're focused in on capping those mesh routes. And through that, Josh is kind of aware of how they're going to play it and takes a crease, right? Because the eyes are really not in the backfield. They're focused on capping those routes so that nobody can break free. And Josh makes a very quick decision and goes. And, you know, I think that the underrated part of that play was getting away from George Karlaftis, who was the initial player that was able to spin off Vandermark and have a chance at Allen. I don't know how many quarterbacks are able to accelerate and beat Karlaftis in that moment. And then from there, Josh Allen with a head of steam, it didn't matter who was in his way. He was going to score.
And Torrence, I think I saw, helped push Jones inside. And I feel like I saw a couple of different film plays, or all 22 looks, Joe, of Torrence on Jones, and that actually maybe went pretty well on Sunday.
At times it did. There's no question. At times it did, but you didn't see all the plays of him getting twisted up, man.
Yeah.
Jones was good. He was really good. I think, yes, a hat tip to Osiris Torrence for at times being able to handle him, but I can't tell you how many times Josh Allen made Chris Jones miss in the pocket. I mean, he was a problem for sure. I thought it was just a little bit better job by Josh Allen making a miss.
Quick follow-up on the pass protection stuff, because I think I heard you mention this on your podcast. That's why Ty Johnson, you think, ended up leading the Bills in snaps at running back? Because I don't even know if we've mentioned that this week, that Johnson played more than Cook on Sunday.
Yeah, Ty Johnson's become the Bills' favorite passing down back. So, like, obvious passing downs, two-minute situations, they bring in Ty Johnson. It's kind of like an uptick over the last 4 weeks or so, and then obviously Kansas City blitz heavy team. Ty Johnson's the guy that they asked to come in and do that. So he's done a really good job scanning, protecting, stepping up, and then, you know, when necessary, go make yourself available for Josh Allen. And I think you've seen, like, the Colts game was a good example of how, you know, there's no one to block. He goes and makes himself available and was able to get some nice gains against Indianapolis. And so you didn't necessarily see that piece this week against Kansas City, but you saw some good pass pro reps. If he's not in there getting some of those blocks, you know, some of those fun plays that we saw down the field don't happen. So, yeah, Ty Johnson, very much that player. I think I heard in the broadcast, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Tony Romo or Jim Nantz said that Josh Allen said that Ty Johnson is the best third down back in the league, which is a pretty aggressive statement, but it's not something to take lightly. He didn't have to say that. So Ty Johnson's really settled in an important role in this backfield. I know everyone's excited about Cook and Davis, but they get all three backs going in meaningful ways.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, before we finish out, scouting this team, what needs to be better? You know, it's a self-scouting time. That's what teams do on the bye week. They get healthy and look at what they need to do better. The run game against Kansas City, I mean, the Chiefs have done that to everybody. Nobody, no feature back has gone off on them, and James Cook was bottled up. Do you think the Bills are good enough in that department? Was it a Kansas City moment? Was it that Spencer Brown was unavailable? Or do you think the run game is the area that this Bills team could probably still stand to get some improvement?
Well, I think that is where you miss Spencer Brown the most, and I think Ryan Vandermark, hat tip, you know, admirable job in that spot, but Spencer Brown in the run game just brings a lot, and they missed that. And I think also with that injury, I think they were a little more reluctant to play Alec Anderson as that jumbo tight end. They didn't use him nearly as much. I think only like maybe four plays, which usually that's 10, 12 plays a game. So I think maybe being mindful of some of the possibilities with their depth in the offensive line, it took away from those opportunities. I think the run game is going to be fine. And like you said, there's actually the second most rushing yards that Kansas City's given up all season, if you can believe it. It still goes back to the D line for me. I know that it's victim of the moment. Kansas City, they were great defensive line wise, good disruption. But you know, can it continue to show up? Can they play the run with light boxes and put a lot of stress on their front to be right? Can they get those big sacks and big moments? You know, even against the Colts, you have three rookie offensive linemen in that game, and when the pass rush hits, boy, it hits. But sometimes you're just looking for a little bit more consistency with the pressure. So I'm still looking for that D-line to rise to the occasion, particularly the middle, the interior guys. It's just, man, when's it going to come for some of them? I know Ed Oliver played better, but you know, Daquan Jones, when's it going to come for him? You know, I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I'm still looking for the rest of the way.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast and the Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Joe, thanks very much. Enjoy the bye week. And stretch run coming soon, where the Bills normally turn it on and don't lose, right? Like November, late November, December is when Sean McDermott teams tend to really find their stride, or Josh Allen teams. So an exciting finish on the way.
Excited to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Marino, you can subscribe to the Locked On Bills podcast where you get your podcasts. Would highly recommend. And the Locked On NFL Scouting podcast as well. We thank him for his time every Wednesday. 803-0550. We'll talk a little Jets and get the update from Dan Leberfeld on just how bad it's going in New York with the Jets coming up at 8:30. When we get back, we're kind of wide open to get back to whether or not you think of the Super Bowl, whether it's just after a win like that or it is all the time. Will you allow yourself, do you allow yourself to think about the Super Bowl? Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, joined in studio by Bills team reporter Matty Glab, who is here for the latest edition of the Matty Awards, presented by Energy Mark, the official energy supplier to the Buffalo Bills. Matty was taking a day off, had some friends in town, but that does not keep her from doling out Matty Awards here a day later.
Not at all. We're back on a Tuesday. We're extending this bye week with good content. So why not put the Matty Awards on a
Tuesday?
From
the 24-hour rule to the 48-hour rule on the bye
quickly.
Week.
Quickly.
As far as I'm concerned. That's what I'd be doing.
Let's go.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially after a win like that. We'll begin at the top of the heap here with the MVP award.
Josh Allen is the MVP. Allen is the best at what he does in the NFL, and he put that on display against the Chiefs. Kansas City went into this game undefeated with the fifth best scoring defense, and Allen, we knew at some point he was going to have to take over and prove that no defense can put me in a box. When the Bills were up by two with just over 2 minutes to go, you don't want to give Patrick Mahomes a chance at the end of the game. So on fourth and two, Allen kicks it into the highest gear. Can you take me higher? I don't think so, because he had a 26-yard rushing touchdown to put the Bills up 30-21. That's the stuff you dream of as a kid who wants to play in the NFL.
Yeah, we were all in this together, right? We all have seen this game 8 times over the last 5 years. You just knew that if the Bills kick the field goal there, Pat Mahomes is going to drive down and kick a field goal, and they're going to take the lead back. And whether it was zero time on the clock or whatever time on the clock, you just knew it.
Yeah.
You just knew it. You could have had the 85 Bears defense on the other side, and that Mahomes still going to get down there and get in field goal range. You just felt it.
The part that I enjoyed secondarily after the game was over and the next day was Steve showing me on the All-22 film, Mac Hollins pointing to the air at the 20 when Josh was at the 20-yard line. Like
he
took 3 steps on his scramble run, and he's like, he's in. I was like, dude, there's like 2 guys there. He's just like, and
Josh is in the grasp of the linebacker just past the line of scrimmage, and there's two guys converging between him and the goal line. Matt Collins on the other side of the field with his finger in the air going, yeah, maybe we're going in.
You got to go and look at it if you haven't seen it. It is a hoot.
Priceless, yeah.
All right, the payback award.
Payback award. It's going to our linebacker, Terrell Bernard. Let's rewind the clock back to last year's divisional playoff game against Kansas City. If you remember, Bernard missed that game due to an ankle injury, and General Manager Brandon Bean later told us that Bernard was basically in tears about not playing in that game. He wanted to play so badly. So that means that this game, while it wasn't in the playoffs, it was against the Chiefs. It was all about that payback. Bernard showed off he could impose his will on the Chiefs offense led by Patrick Mahomes. He had a huge third down sack in the beginning of the game and finished off the game with an interception that sealed Buffalo's victory. Bernard also did a great job of acting as the spy on certain plays, making sure that Mahomes didn't have the opportunity to be superhuman at any time. I mean, look at his rushing statistics. Mahomes did not have the opportunity to get out of the pocket and make the defense pay.
Yeah, he didn't throw for a lot of yards either. Yeah. It was a supreme defensive performance by the Bills.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Bernard's presence out there, he just elevates everybody. He's
just on it.
Yeah, he seems...
He's ahead of it, actually.
Clairvoyant.
He's not on it.
Yeah,
he's ahead of it.
He's clairvoyant as to what's going to happen.
The Spark Award.
The spark is going to the defense for setting the tone early. Buffalo's defense was aggressive from the very first play. They got after Mahomes in the beginning, and they did not let up when the game got close. They provided a huge spark in the second play of the game, I should say, with that Taylor Rapp interception. And then on the last drive that Kansas City had, Terrell Bernard intercepts a pass. They finish with two takeaways, 7 quarterback hits, 2 sacks. They showed that they can go toe-to-toe with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, even with injuries. No Matt Milano, no Dwayne Carter, no DeJuan Smoot, and they could still do it. I loved the defense's attitude in this one. They didn't play afraid. They played as the aggressors. Defensive coordinator Bobby Babich called a great game.
Yeah, he did. They stayed aggressive, and
But they gave up a touchdown in the second half, right?
Yeah, they gave up 1 touchdown in the second half. My narrative has been that they just forced Mahomes into decisions he didn't want to make. And they did it by hurrying him and harassing him and chasing him around back there, and the pressure affected him.
Mm-hmm. They have an offensive tackle problem on both sides. It's a major issue for them.
They've beaten 9 teams in a row with that same problem.
Right. But I think the Bills showed that that's probably not going to work too well in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. The Heating Up Award.
Heating up is going to our wide receiver, Curtis Samuel. In the last 2 games, Samuel has 9 total catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. In the last 2 games, it's been a different type of wide receiver that we've seen on the field. It's been a tough start for Samuel's first season as a Bill, and he hasn't played a huge piece in this offense, hasn't played a huge role in this offense, but in the last 2 weeks, he's showing why he can have that important role. He's heating up, he's showcasing his skills as a wide receiver. He's a shifty player who's really tough to take down when he has the ball in his hands, and I don't care when you show up. As long as you show up, that's what matters. And here he is doing it 2 straight weeks in a row. The 49ers are on deck. The addition of Samuel into the mix just makes this offense harder to defend.
Yeah, and Josh Allen kind of intimated after the game on Sunday that Curtis Samuel in the early stages of the season was playing hurt.
Right.
He had a shoulder injury, a pectoral injury, and he was fighting his way through that. I remember being down at the Jets game in week 6, and he leaves that game on the first series, and he's holding his shoulder, and he's got the athletic training staff working on him. So he's been battling through some stuff, and when you don't feel yourself, it's hard to play your best, even if you are out there suiting up for your teammates. I think he finally feels good, And we're kind of seeing the difference. Yeah. So that's what's encouraging. All right, the TD King Award.
Our touchdown king, it's running back James Cook. Cook has 11 touchdowns from scrimmage this season through 11 games. That ties for the second most scrimmage touchdowns by a running back. Cook had just 2 rushing touchdowns last season. He already has 10 this season. The running back has made a huge jump in his ability to find the end zone this season and fight for extra yards. I love that the coaching staff trusts him with the ball in the red zone. Cook has shown that he's capable of running those tough and strong yards. He's had some angry runs where he faces contact and stays up to score. The TD King is going to keep it rolling.
Yeah, I think what I'm seeing, it's great to see because even in this game is the perfect example. The first one he beat him to the pylon and then cut up inside the last block. He just outran the interior pursuit. And then on the other one, he went up between the guards and knocked and kept his balance after contact.
Blasted a safety.
And blasted a safety. So both speed and physicality, you know, he showed both in 2 touchdown runs there in the first half. Yeah, it was huge.
And the real difference here is last year all these touchdowns were being run in by Josh Allen.
Right.
And now they've made that switch. Let's take some of the knocks off Allen's body and give it to a guy who's used to contact, like a running back, and Cook has come through for them. But really, all season long, whether it's Cook, on occasion, Davis, and once in a while, Ty Johnson, their running efficiency in the low red zone has been very, very good this year. Like, running it down there is the hardest place to run the football, and they've shown an ability to do that all season long.
And I'll say this, too. It's not for nothing. It's easier to do that when you got 330-pound guards and center.
Yeah.
They went they're bigger this
thicker
year.
Thicker and maybe a little less athletic to get that straightforward push this year. All right, last one, the Hats Off Award.
Hats off to Ryan Vandermark and Osiris Torrance, 2 of our offensive linemen who stepped up huge against the Chiefs. The Bills were without their starting right tackle in Spencer Brown. Not where you want to be as you face one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL with Chris Jones as a defensive tackle who can move all over the place and just cause chaos. So Ryan Vandermark steps in for Brown, and Osiris Torrance helps hold down that side of the field as well. Vandermark played every single snap, and there was no drop-off. Josh Allen was not sacked once against the Chiefs, against Chris Jones. Torrance also did a really great job of holding off Jones on multiple snaps. The best one was when Allen rushed in for that 26-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. Torrance sunk his hips and turned into a concrete wall, allowing Allen to run through a really important gap to score.
Yeah, because Karlaftis, too, was trying to swipe the ball away at the other side of that gap.
Yeah, Karlaftis made a big swipe to get the ball out of Josh's hands right as he broke contain. He's working against Vandermark. Swiped the ball out of Josh's hand. Couldn't get there, though.
Yeah, but Osiris turned Chris Jones, like, the other way. He just turned
crazy.
Him. Which, you know, that's just great hand work, great technique. And I think Jones was trying to take an inside angle because inside is the closest distance between point A and point B.
Right.
He knows he probably doesn't have enough time to go outside and get to Josh before he throws the ball. But he was fully expecting pass.
Yeah.
So. And people have talked about how on the team, how impressive the hand strength of Osiris Torrance is, that he's got some crazy hand strength that he can just move people out of the way, as a young player.
Not to mention, I mean, and we've talked about this since he was drafted, he's very flat-footed, so there's like more surface area on the ground. You can't uproot him.
Right.
He anchors, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, he's not only not moving, but he's turning you because he's anchored. They don't back him up off him.
It's funny because I've seen other guards like our former Buffalo Bill, Jerry Ostrowski, was also flat-footed.
I remember.
It allows them to anchor. Maybe Mac Hollins is right. If they're flat-footed, it gets them closer to the ground.
It's more surface area.
But yeah, they and plus they both have long arms and that huge strength. That
doesn't hurt that Torrance, he's 330 either.
Yes, exactly. And that's what Jerry O was as well. Those guys are prototypical, and Osiris, I think, is having a very good sophomore year in the NFL.
Maddie, our topic of discussion today is how have the Bills exceeded your expectations with their 9-2 start? Is there anything that really stood out for you that you think the Bills are doing even better than you anticipated?
I think it's an easy answer, but what sticks out to me, if I look back on the season as a whole, from week one to here we are in the bye week, week 12, is their ability to bounce back from injuries. They have faced so many injuries on the defensive side of the football, and even on the offensive side of the football as well. Defense has definitely been way more, and it doesn't matter who's playing. It doesn't matter who's stepping into a role, undrafted, seventh rounder, sixth rounder. I think all of these guys who you may label as B players or whatever have played at an A grade capability when they're in there. It just shows how much this coaching staff means to this roster and how they do such a great job of developing these players regardless of where they're drafted in the NFL draft. They get the best out of them, and the system that has been in place since Sean McDermott has walked through these doors on defense has proved you can be drafted in the seventh round or the first round. It doesn't matter. When you learn this and you understand it, you can excel at it. And we've seen that time and time again out of so many defensive players. I'm really excited for this team to get healthier. We always say the bye comes at the right time, but to be able to possibly get back a Matt Milano, maybe a Dwayne Carter, a Dalton Kincaid, a Spencer Coleman. Brown, Keon Coleman, like it's a great place to be right now.
These guys.
It's a great place to be.
Crazy. Absolutely awesome. Crazy.
Yep.
All right, Maddie, thanks as always. Enjoy your bye week, and hopefully we see you after the next victory, which would make it seven in a row if they can beat the 49ers on Sunday Night Football in week 13. We will take a break here, but when we come back, we're here to take your phone calls, so you let us know how you think the Bills have exceeded your expectations with their 9-2 start next year on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center Saturday, August 9th of next year, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets go on sale this Friday, November 22nd, at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Ooh, it's coming up on November 22nd. JFK. It's a Friday this year.
Yep.
That was on a Friday. 61 years it'll be. Everybody, it's said, remembers where they were when they heard that news.
Sure. I believe that.
You don't, though.
Well, I was... what year did
your story is you were not born yet? Is
yeah,
that your
that's
story?
What I'm going to go with. I wasn't alive.
1963?
Yeah, no, I was...
You're not 61?
No, not yet. No, got a little ways to go.
Okay. Anyway, Dave is with us next. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. Enjoy the show as usual.
Thank you.
And, good. I called last week, and remember I told you, if the Bills knock the Chiefs out of the unbeaten ranks, unless they go to the Super Bowl, that's going to be the highlight of their season. But I still think they're going to the game. But as far as being healthy goes, yes, you want them to go into that game healthy, not having guys hurt here and there. So if they're going to kill themselves getting the number one seed and try to win out, but not going into the game healthy, then they could get knocked off. Even though they got the one seed, the first playoff game they get would be home, yes. But who knows, and a team can come in there and knock them off. Then you're going to say to yourself, what if it was killing ourselves getting the first seed if we're going to get knocked off the first game because we weren't healthy? So I think if they stay healthy and if they rest some of these guys down the road and they go into the playoffs healthy, then they get to the Super Bowl healthy and you can win the game.
Well, it's just
who they're playing.
Thanks, Dave. The thing about it is there's just not enough correlation to be able to control that. You know, you could sit players and have injuries too. You can play them and not have injuries, right? There's just not enough. You're just playing the odds. And in my opinion, and yours, Bulldog, that the odds there are worth the effort. The advantage of having the week off, which you can use to get healthy, and home
right,
field.
Right.
I would say that.
Yeah. See, this is why when I referenced this, I think, within the last half hour or so, the point about, it was when Colin called and said his brother's rooting for, like, not worried about the one seed, just be healthy. And I referenced how I said a few times last week, like, if the Chiefs beat you, it could be kind of a favor to you because you can maybe let up a little bit and not worry about. And I hated how that sounded, and that's how I feel hearing Dave spit that back at me. Some different version of it, but it's the same thing, baby. And it's like, no, it's football. Go, you gotta go play. You have to go play. Put your helmet on. Go play. Some guys are gonna get hurt. Okay, that's football. I hope nobody really important gets hurt for long term, but you're always gonna be guarding against that. So I just don't think you can go too far the other way to construct a perfect scenario where you can just start giving guys weeks off, taking turns or something, the last 3 weeks of the season or something. It's just not, I don't think it's not realistic. And I don't say that because I'm worried about rust or anything. I think these guys rested would be better than, you know, have to run the gauntlet, but still being healthy, I would say. But I think you got this game last week. And the one is there, and you just don't know what else is going to come here. You know, the health of your opponents, even, you just don't know. There's too much we don't know. So, to me, you got to just keep going. And sure, I mean, it's easy to look at their season now and say, I'm getting Milano back. I'm going to get Coleman back. I just got Cooper back. Spencer Brown will be back. I'm getting healthy, and that's very different than, say, last year or really any other year. We also don't know what else is going to happen to who else here between now and the end. And I just think you can twist yourself up into knots trying to guard against that.
By the way, earlier you were trying to think back to these other years, and I said that they really have never had control of it. That's not correct. The Hamlin year, with a win in Cincinnati that night, they would have had control of the one going into the final game of the season.
They'd already beaten the Chiefs, yeah.
Because they'd beaten the Chiefs, and they ended up a half game behind. Remember, the league had to figure out what to do, compromise kind of. So the Chiefs were basically given the one that year. The Bills didn't make it that far. They lost to the Bengals in the playoffs, who then lost to the Chiefs. So they were that close 2 years ago.
Yep, that's right.
Let's go to Cliff next. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, sorry about that. I think you guys have it a little bit wrong with the playoffs. I think the AFC North, I'm scared as Baltimore too. I believe Derrick Henry is our biggest fear, but I feel like all those teams are going to beat up each other. You guys keep on talking about Cincinnati. Cincinnati plays Pittsburgh twice, and they had to play Baltimore. So I could see that actually division falling back and not getting the 3 seed, but the 4 seed, and Houston being in the South could actually back into the 3rd seed, and that could be the 2-3. And you don't play, you know, Pittsburgh in the first round, and you play, you know, if Pittsburgh, Baltimore are the 4-5, they go against the 1 seed, and then we get to play the 3 seed as long as they don't lose to the 6 seed. So, I'm just as scared as you guys with Baltimore, but I don't think they will have enough wins to challenge us for the 2. I think it's more likely that we go up to 1 than we fall down to 3, the way it looks right now.
I would agree with that. Thanks, Cliff. The Ravens are done with the Bengals.
Yeah, they played twice already. Right.
But the Steelers haven't played the Bengals or the Browns yet. And they have 5 division games left. And they have the Chiefs left. And one more. Somebody good.
Who are we talking about here?
Pittsburgh.
Hang on. Processing.
Philadelphia.
Okay, just as I got it. Yep, good job.
Boy, Philadelphia has Pittsburgh and Baltimore still. Okay.
I would agree that they're more likely to get the 1 than fall to the 3, but that the rest of that I don't know. I'm about ready to give up on the Bengals. Now maybe this is where they win a game and, you know, the whole thing looks a little tighter when we reconvene on Monday after week 12 here, but if Baltimore is going to get out of my hair, I want them to catch Pittsburgh, and maybe that can still happen. I would love it if it did. Cause I just would much rather take my chances with anybody but Baltimore if it comes to that. But with the way their year's been, I mean, to me, they could end up being the seven. I know that sounds crazy, but it could happen. The schedule is tough, and if they don't catch Pittsburgh, they could end up down there. And that is very worrisome to me. Like, as far as, you know, sure, that you're worried about them. They finished, you know, 10-7. Why are you so worried about them? I mean, because they're Baltimore. They've got Jackson. Henry, I mean, boy, Henry, you can really get tangled up in. He's great. But much like the opener when they lost in Kansas City on a toenail, with likely in the end zone at the end, and Derrick Henry was on the sidelines in a close game because they were throwing. That was the situation in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Henry, I think, touched the ball maybe 2 times after halftime, maybe 5 times after halftime. I got to look. I know I saw a tweet earlier in the week how he just was not a factor, because if they're in a situation where they feel like they got to throw it, they're going to have, you know, their other guys on the field, Hill or Mitchell's back there too now, right?
Mitchell is back. But played a couple snaps.
Yeah, it's more Hill.
I think Mitchell is interesting.
But anyway, it just, you know, you're in a close game, but they feel like they got to throw it. Your Derrick Henry problem is solved to an extent. Like, they just don't have him out there that much.
Here are the playoff odds real quick. These teams in the middle there, like, will they make it? Chargers at minus 1,200. So they've been a favorite all year, and now they're a pretty big favorite, 7-3. Then you have, like, they're the 5 right now, actually. I didn't even bother with the Ravens. Denver is minus 105, so Denver's like a coin flip. They're the 7 right now. Indianapolis is 8, plus 155. It's interesting. Cincinnati, Miami's next, actually. Miami is 9, and they're plus 310. I have a piece of that.
Okay.
Cincinnati at plus 450. If you think they're going to, they need to win 6 out of 7, probably.
Yeah. Or
it's actually all 6. They've already played
right
11 games. So they might need to finish on a 6-game winning streak. Maybe 5-1, but that's 9-8, and that's not great. Then you have the Jets, of course, at plus 3,000. Which I also have a piece of.
Of course.
And I have the Browns, and I can't even look at the Browns number after last week. I'm gonna, since I brought it up, +15,000. The Browns, they're 2-8. They weren't supposed to lose to the Saints by a lot. That was not what I was thinking.
No, right? No, no, it was not.
They were not supposed to give up 3 rushing touchdowns and 8 receptions to Taysom Hill. They were not. They should have planned for that.
Right.
They should have tried to stop him. Taysom Hill, no game in NFL history has ever been like it. No single game performance has ever been like it. 7 for 100-some rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, 8 receptions, and he threw a pick. Nobody's ever done that combination of things in NFL history.
Right.
100 yards rushing, 3 rushing touchdowns, I think 8 catches. I think that's the number, and he threw a pick. There's only one Taysom Hill. All right. Thanks for your phone calls. 803-0550. We'll try to get a couple more in after a break. Paul Hamilton at 6 on the Sabres tonight. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.